As we get started, I invite you to turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 43. Tonight's lesson is the celestial city, also known as heaven. That city whose builder and maker is God, that city that Abraham looked for and longed for, and all those who come from Abraham have longed for. It's not of this world, it's not of this earth, but folks, to get there, life in this existence has to be transformed. Life in this existence must end. And we are brought into that. And that's what Bunyan deals with in this last section of the book. And I see the pastor's heart in him as he longs to help people to think in that direction. Look, if you will, in Isaiah chapter 43, beginning at verse 1. He says, "But now, thus says the Lord, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in exchange for you, because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you. I give men in return for you, peoples in exchange for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offspring from the east and from the west, and I will gather you. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." Some beautiful words there that we look at in the Old Testament that kind of gives us a foundation for what direction we're going in. The hope that we have is in Christ Himself. Now, my question tonight has to deal with, do you ever think about death? You know, a lot of people say it's a morbid thing to consider it, but it's a reality for all. I mean, there are times that we don't think about it and we kind of escape and not realize that, you know what, we're all going to give it up one day. It's going to all end, and we have to keep that in mind. Now, folks, the days that we live in, we've got medical technologies and all that extend lifespans. But I want you to realize that in days past, death was more often. Children survived birth less. It was not uncommon for somebody to lose multiple children during childbirth or before. Lifespans themselves were shorter than they are today. You know, it's great to see people survive as well, as long as they do today in many cases. But at the same time, days passed. And folks, I say that because you need to realize that death itself impacted people more often. And it was like this constant reminder that, you know, one day that will be me. And it makes us think about numbering our days as the Bible tells us to do. We need to number those days, to count those days and realize that we are but grass. I mean, all through Scripture we're reminded how frail and weak and life is but a vapor. And it's going to end one day. So it's important to be prepared for that. And I think that's what Bunyan is trying to do. I think Bunyan is trying to draw this out to not just say, well, death is coming, but don't dread it in such a way that you're going to do everything you can to stay away from it. It's not the worst thing that someone can do to you according to Christ. What's the worst thing to do? Kill you? That's it. And Christ acted like that was nothing. Taking your life is not a big deal. But you know what, folks? If you didn't have an understanding of a sovereign God, you might be more concerned. The sovereignty of God comforts me. It comforts me. Realizing that, trusting that, knowing that, and I believe as I read this from Bunyan in this last part, to me, I believe you can see how Bunyan felt about God and His sovereignty. He trusted Him. He knew the outcome. And he drew these illustrations out from there, showing the confidence that some would have at this time and others would have a little bit less. That is a true statement. Bunyan's focus, his main focus, is the end of this earthly life experience for Christian and hopeful. Their journey has been long with many tests and trials, as well as blessings and joys along the way. Something we will need to look at is how death experience may be different for different people. And Bunyan brings that out in the difference between how Christian went through the river and how hopeful passed through the river. So, some things to think about: how some may be more fearful, but they still pass through it. Others may have more confidence and look forward to it just with a little bit more confidence in Christ than others. It's just the way it is, you guys. There's nothing good or bad about it. You know, after spending my years in the ministry, I remember four different times when I watched a person take their last breath in this world. I was present with families, being a pastor. You're called to be by families when they're losing somebody, and I've been there and I've watched four different individuals, and I remember every one of them well, watching that person take their last breath. And they're gone. I mean, they're gone. And you know what's interesting? The first funeral, my dad did not like funerals. He would never take us to funerals. I never went to a funeral until I had to preach one. Yeah, my first funeral I attended was the one I had to preach at. So, since then, being a pastor and standing beside families as a loved one was passing away, it's something to think about when you watch someone do that. And folks, I always like to say this too, knowing that God is sovereign. You know, how a person passes, we need to leave that up to God too. Sometimes people pass suddenly out of the blue. Others get sick and they linger and the family has time to prepare for it. Somebody has time to prepare for it. But that is not the way God does it all the time. Sometimes death is a quick heart attack out of the blue or a sudden crash or a wreck. Something happens and that person, it's gone quickly and unexpectedly. Know that that's a mercy from God. But also know that those lingering hours, those spending time with a loved one as they dwindle away and you watch their health go by, that is also a mercy of God. But knowing that He is sovereign over all that, we trust. So let's get in this. As we get started, the river of death is my first point I want to think about. Now, folks, I want you to know that this idea of Beulah Land, which Brother Jake said he didn't want me to sing, the very song, if you know the song Beulah Land, it was actually inspired by how Bunyan did in this book. The word Beulah is only used one time in the Old Testament. It's only one time. And it's in Isaiah 62 and verse 4. It says, "You shall no more be termed forsaken, and your land shall no more be termed desolate, but you shall be called, My delight is in her, and you, your land married. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married." The word Beulah just means married. That's all it is. This ESV version, they don't use Beulah. It's married. Now, folks, I want you to think about the contrast to that. There's this side where he compares it with being desolate, forsaken, and yet he says married. And what do we see through Scripture when it talks about Christ and His bride? It's like a possession. It's ownership. It's this relationship, this union, these promises, everything that a wedding, a godly wedding should reveal. is what Christ is for us. And He's telling us that that promise is good, and that Beulah, in the presence of the married land, it's not forsaken, it's not desolate, it's inhabited, it's got joy going on. When you think of a wedding, that is probably one of the biggest celebratory events there is in people's lives. And that's what He's saying. There's hope there. There's life there. There's promise there. There's covenant there. Can't get away from that. So, beginning on page 179. My sister Iris made a comment earlier, I ought to read more of this. I am going to read some of it. But there is so much good stuff here, you guys. It's like I've read it multiple times and enjoyed every time. But page 179 says, "Now I saw in my dream that by this time the pilgrims were got over the enchanted ground." Now remember, that's where Brother Jake brought them through, and they were encouraging each other and talking to each other and trying to remind each other and talking. Theology is basically what they were doing, to stay awake, not to fall asleep in the enchanted land. So they made it over in the enchanted land. It says, "In entering into the country of Beulah, whose air was very sweet and pleasant, the way lying directly through it, the path was straight. They solaced themselves there for a season. Yea, here they heard continually the singing of birds and saw every day the flowers appear in the earth, and heard the voice of the turtle," that is a turtle dove, you guys. It's not the talking turtles from Narnia. "And heard the voice of the turtle in the land. In this country, the sun shineth night and day. Wherefore, this was beyond the valley of the shadow of death, and also out of the reach of giant despair. Neither could they form, they from this place so much as see Doubting Castle. Here they were within sight of the city they were going to. So also here met them some of the inhabitants thereof. For in this land the shining ones commonly walk." They're talking about angels. "Because it was upon the borders of heaven. In this land also the contract between the bride and the bridegroom was renewed." You remember that verse we read in Isaiah 62? "Yea, here, as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so doth God rejoice over them. Here they had no want of corn and wine, for in this place they met with abundance of what they had sought for in all their pilgrimage." They were well provided for in this land. "Here they heard voices from out of the city, loud voices saying, Say ye to the daughter of Zion, Behold, salvation cometh. Behold, His reward is with Him. Here all the inhabitants of the country call them," listen to these terms, "the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, sought out or called out." And then he puts, etc. Why is that? Why would Bunyan stop there? Well, folks, the names go on and on. It's the people of God, the holy people, that redeemed of the Lord. That was what they were experiencing. From the enchanted land to this point, that's what they were experiencing. And you see where they talk about they see beyond the shadow of death. But that valley is way behind them. And giant despair, he could never touch us here. And of course, that Doubting Castle, you couldn't even so much as see it. It was upon the borders of heaven. The nearness of the city somehow had this effect on them. And you guys, I really did try to find out what Bunyan's intent was on this. Because of the location and the fact that they had not passed over the river, I don't want to assume too much here, but understand that they're like on the borders, but they haven't died yet. The river symbolizes the death. He says there, now, as they walked in this land, they had more rejoicing than in parts more remote from the kingdom to which they were bound. And drawing near to the city, they had yet a more perfect view thereof. It was builded of pearls and precious stone. Also, the streets thereof were paved with gold, so that by reason of the natural glory of the city and the reflection of the sunbeams upon it, Christian, with desire, fell sick. Hopeful also had a fit or two of the same disease. Wherefore, here they lay by it a while, crying out because of their pains. I love this, you guys. If you see my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. Folks, you know what that is? That's a term, that's a phrase of endearment. It's just like this. They're just longing. They're sick with longing for Christ. They desire Him to that degree that it's affecting them physically. Seeing all these things, all that did was draw them that much more of a want and a desire. It enhanced everything that they had been working up to. All the struggles they had had in the past, all of them were coming to a head and pointing towards Christ. And here, Christ, the reality of Christ, the celestial city itself, dwelling in His presence, was all more the real to them. And they said, if you see my beloved, tell him that I am sick of love. Now, folks, at that point, they were able to gather their strength. After they lay there for a while and recovered, they come across the gardener. The gardener invited them into the king's garden and showed them around. And I love this. Said the grapes were so sweet and delicious that they made them talk in their sleep. I don't know where Bunyan was going with there, but that must have been some awful good grapes to make you want to talk in your sleep. The city was so bright that the sun, that from the sun, it was shining all the time. They needed something to look through. They needed sunglasses. He was referencing over there in Corinthians where it talks about a glass darkly. But just seeing that we need something to protect our eyes at this point. Folks, what I believe this was illustrating was the sometimes when people who have been serving the Lord for a long time and they get up to a point of death, there's no fear. And there's this longing that they're done and they're ready to go. That happens a lot with older people who have served the Lord all their life. And they're saying, you know what, I've been through that, what Pilgrim has gone through. I've seen what Hopeful and Christian have gone through. I myself am a pilgrim, and I've come to this point. And I'm ready. I'm ready. And I'm happy about it. I'm not hurt. I'm not scared. I'm ready. And I think that is for those who've walked this road, have lived this life, have seen the ugliness of sin, has fought with sin in their own life, have put their arms around others and loved on them and confided in them and counseled them, discipling them and bringing them to the point. It's like, you know what? You've been rejected by people. You've been hurt by others. And you just say, I'm ready. It's okay. Anytime, Lord. Anytime. I'm okay. There's a sweet little lady that I was her pastor up until she passed away, Miss Arnold. She was married to a preacher out of New Orleans, and oh goodness, was she in her 90s when she passed away? She was right at it. So that woman was so faithful. She was dealing with dementia, and bless her heart, y'all, we would go through. There, somebody would call us and say, y'all, Miss Arnold's at the church, and it's Monday or Tuesday or another day. It was such a habit for her. That's all she wanted to do. She just wanted to go to church, and every day was Sunday for her. She'd show up in a church parking lot and wait for somebody to show up, and somebody had to go up there and tell Miss Arnold, it's not Sunday, nobody's coming. It was such a habit for her. I have to tell you a quick little story about her. While I was pastoring, we had this young lady that was visiting with us and told us she could play the piano. She could play the piano, but it was honky-tonk style. And I think it was me trying to lead the music when she was banging. She was playing the piano like a honky-tonk piano. It was a song, but it was honky-tonk style, all right? Well, about one or two times that, Miss Arnold stood up in the congregation. She said, "I'm sorry, y'all. That is not singing. That's not worshipful." And she just went off in this little spiel in the middle of song service, letting everybody know that she does not approve the way that girl's playing the piano. She loved her Lord. She'd sing a lot. But you know what? When you hear her talking about seeing her Lord, it was real. She'd talk about the clouds and how much she just makes her think about Christ, just see the clouds. What I'm saying, you guys, is oftentimes when you've served the Lord, there's a time when you're ready. And I've seen people like that in my life, in my ministry. I've watched elderly people who have served faithfully for a long time, and they're ready. It's okay. It's okay. And I think Bunyan is trying to draw this picture that we see people getting ready and are prepared for this. And they see things in their mind's eye, the beauties of Christ, and they can enjoy that. Their health is failing. Their bones are aching. Their bodies, their muscles hurt. They may be sick. They may be on some kind of bad medicine. But that's okay because they're looking at Christ. And I think that's what Bunyan is trying to show us here. Now, let's get into these shining ones and the experience that Christian and Hopeful had. He says these men asked the pilgrims whence they were. Now, they come across the shining ones. These men asked the pilgrims whence they were, and they told them. They also asked them where they had lodged, what difficulties and dangers, what comforts and pleasures they had met with in the way. And they told them. Then said the men that met them, "You have but two difficulties more to meet with, and then you are in the city." So there's two things coming up to this point. That river is the problem. That river is the issue that they've got to cross. Christian then and his companion asked the men to go along with them. So they told them that they would, but they said, "You must obtain it by your own faith." So I saw in my dream, Bunyan says, that they went on together till they came in sight of the gate. Now here, in this next section, we're talking about addressing that river of death. The shining ones walked them up to the river's edge and informed them they've got to go through to get it. Well, here's Hopeful is looking across it, seems to be a little bit more confident, but Christian begins to look to and fro and say, "Is there not another way? This river looks scary." Folks, I believe that. I believe that there are people who look at death and say, that's scary. Is there another way around? The shining ones told Christian, said, "Well, there are people who didn't go through this river, but the only ones, Enoch and Elijah, are the only ones that were allowed to go that route." You know, they were taken up. That was the thing that Bunyan was trying to say, is they were taken up and were able to escape that death going across that river. But he said, there's nobody who's been allowed to pass that way for a long time. So Christian's faith, and we see Hopeful's faith, and we start looking at them side by side, and we see something about the two. Now, I want y'all to think back just a little bit. Do y'all remember when they were in the dungeon of Doubting Castle? Do you remember Hopeful was the one that seemed to keep? He held on to a little bit of confidence. Christian was ready to give up, right? Giant Despair said, "Y'all just need to kill yourself." And Christian, he was ready. "Well, yeah, Giant Despair, yeah, that's about all we got. We're not getting out of here. We just need to kill ourselves." Well, Hopeful said no. Hopeful kept reminding him of promises. And Bunyan seems to draw hopeful's faith a little bit stronger than Christians. And I think he does that with intention because he's going to use it right here. Facing those that one last event that brings you through. Then they addressed themselves to the water. And entering, Christian began to sink and crying out to his good friend, Hopeful. He said, I sink in deep waters. The billows go over my head, and all the waves go over me. Salah. Then said the other, Be of good cheer, my brother. I feel the bottom, and it's good. Then said Christian, Ah, my friend, the sorrows of death have compassed me about. I shall not see the land that flows with milk and honey. And with that, a great darkness and horror fell upon Christian, so that he could not see before him. Also here, he in a great measure lost his senses, so that he could not neither remember nor orderly talk of any of those sweet refreshments that he had met with in the way of his pilgrimage. But all the words that he spoke still tended to discover that he had horror of mind and heart fears that he should die in that river and never obtain entrance in at the gate. Here also, as they that stood by perceived, he was much in the troublesome thoughts of the sins that he had committed. Do y'all see what he's meditating on? Do you see what's coming back up? Hopeful's not struggling with these struggles, but Christian is thinking, my sin. I can't turn loose of my past. And those sins and those thoughts of that was coming back to him. The sins that he had committed both since and before he began to be a pilgrim. He's saying, before I was saved, I was a sinner. I was still a sinner. That hole flowed over his mind and thinking there's no way God would accept me. Both since and before he began to be a pilgrim. It was also observed that he was troubled with apparitions of hobgoblins and evil spirits forever and anon. He would intimate so much by words. Folks, he was verbalizing all that would have kept him from going. He was struggling with all that his past carried with him. He was carrying that weight. He was fearful. It was dark. He had no hope. But the story doesn't end there. Although the faith and the level of fear were very different, understanding both for Christian and Hopeful, they both made it over. Don't forget that. They both made it over. Yes, some people can be more fearful. I know I've seen people that I believe are converted, they're saved, but yet they struggle with confidence. They have an issue with really believing that they're true believers. There are people that face death and they just don't know how it's going to come. People are different when it comes to that time. And I think John Bunyan kind of illustrates the variety in which you could have people dealing with that. Some more fearful than others. He says, Then I saw in my dream that Christian was in a muse. He was thinking a while. Something come to his mind. To whom also Hopeful added these words, Be of good cheer. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. What a reminder. What do we need to be reminded of? It's Jesus Christ that made him whole. All of a sudden he was thinking about his past sins and his sins since he was saved. He knows when he left the road, he got off the path, he forsook the journey that he was assigned, he forgot instructions that he was given. And what is Hopeful reminding him of? Jesus Christ made you whole. That's our hope. And with that Christian breakout, with a loud voice, Oh, I see him again. And he tells me, When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. Then they both took courage, and the enemy was after that as still as a stone. Do you see how he still says the enemy was chasing him right up to death? Hopeful was not a big, he was not dealing with the same thing. Or at least we're not given that information from Bunyan. And the enemy was after that as still as a stone until they were gone over. Christian therefore presently found ground to stand upon. And so it followed that the rest of the river was but shallow. Thus they got over. On the other bank of the river, the same shining ones met them over there. They assisted them with their journey. It says, "We are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those that shall be the heirs of salvation." Thus they went along towards the gate. Bunyan appears to reveal a true longing for the celestial city, looking forward to a body that does not make or have problems walking up mountains. He talks about how quickly they walked up. He says, "Now you must note that the city stood upon a mighty hill, but the pilgrim went up that hill with ease because they had these two men to lead them up by the arms. They had likewise left their mortal garments behind them in the river. For though they went in with them, they came out without them. They therefore went up here with much agility and speed." Sounds like an old man glad to get rid of that old body. They went up with much agility and speed. Uphill. Uphill. So, Hebrews 12. You know I couldn't skip that. It says they talked. The talk that they had with the shining ones was about the glory of the place. Who told them that the beauty and glory of it was inexpressible? "There," said they, "is Mount Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, the innumerable company of angels, and the spirits of just men made perfect." Bunyan's description of Christian and Hopeful being led to the presence of the King of Kings is a beautiful reminder for you and I of so much of what God's promises in His words to you and I, how they were treated with joy and celebration by the others that were already there. How they were invited into the presence of the King Himself. They were given permission to enter in, you guys. How they were dressed in their own shining garments in that presence of the King. What a beautiful picture that Bunyan draws of that entering into the presence of the King. But you guys, I want to close with some thoughts here. One last reminder. From, I believe, Bunyan's pastor heart, a pastor who cared for the souls of men, and the warning for the religious but lost. Ignorance shows up. Y'all remember him? Back down the road a ways, ignorance shows up. And he seems to be at the gate thinking he should have entrance. I've run out of time, but you need to see that that's what Bunyan is trying to show you, that there are people who think that they are ready for heaven, but they don't have it once they get there. "Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils? Have we not done all these wonderful works?" And Christ's response is, "I never knew you." Bunyan knew that. Bunyan saw that in people's lives. It's no different than what we see today. So they took ignorance away and put him in that hole, that pit. And he said that there was access. He says, "Then I saw that there was a way to hell, even from the gate of heaven, as well as from the city of destruction. So I awoke, and behold, it was a dream." The point. Now, reader, I have told my dream to thee, so if thou canst interpret it to me, or to thyself or neighbor, but take heed of misinterpreting, for that instead of going of doing good will but thyself abuse. By misinterpreting, evil ensues. Take heed also that thou did not be not extreme in playing with the outside of my dream, nor let my figure or similitude put thee into a laughter or a feud. Leave this for boys and fools, but as for thee, do thou the substance of my matter see. Put by the curtains, look within my veil, turn up my metaphors, and do not fail. There, if thou seekest them, such things thou'lt find as will be helpful to an honest mind. What of dross thou findest there, be bold to throw away, but yet preserve the gold. What if my gold be wrapped up in ore? None throw away the apple for the core. But if thou shalt cast all away as vain, I know not but 'twill make me dream again. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verses 1 through 9, and then we'll quit. After this, I heard what seemed to be the voice, the loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, "Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for His judgments are true and just. For He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of His servants." Once more they cried out, "Hallelujah! The smoke from her goes up forever and ever." And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God, who was seated on the throne, saying, "Amen, hallelujah." And from the throne came a voice saying, "Praise our God, all you His servants, you who fear Him, small and great." Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exalt and give Him the glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure, for the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We praise you for your word. Thank you for these promises. And Father, the reminder that all will face death. And your word reminds us time and time again that life is but a vapor. We need to number our days. We need to consider our lives, not know when that time will be. But Father, that as we stand in Christ, it is His righteousness that brings us through death. That's what prevails over sin and death, is the righteousness of Christ. Let us not forget that. Let us hope. Let us grow strong in those words and those promises. Help us to encourage each other in it. We thank you and praise you. We ask forgiveness in Christ's name.